Like it or not, money and politics are committed bedfellows when someone decides to run for office, just like with owning a business and opening one up. The more money you have, the more effective your efforts to connect with your targets will be. Now, over the past few years, laws were put into place which limited the amount of money one could donate in various ways and paths and desires. This brought about challenges to those laws, one of which was decided on by the U.S. Supreme Court this past week. Here to discuss this ruling is the lead attorney for the Republican National Committee in this case. We say good morning to James Bob Jr. Good morning, Mr. Bob.
Thank you, Chris. Glad to be on.
Well, I'll start off with an idea. I'm going to use, an accurate analogy and something we've talked about here on the show, too, in the past. The Hobby Lobby case, which involves the right of a business to not have to follow laws or edicts, in this case, birth control that goes against the wills and the religious beliefs of the owners. In that case, a business had to be considered as a person, and a lot of people had a tough time wrapping their arms around that concept. In this case, McCutcheon versus the FEC, explain how an action donating money is in effect the action of speaking as I am to you right now under the First Amendment belief of freedom of speech.
Well, because it's a you start with the understanding that in order to speak, we need money. In other words, we need money to engage in the methods of communication that will allow us to reach people. So somebody had to buy the soapbox. Somebody bought the first magnephone that allowed us to speak to more than one person at a given time. So when you limit the money that would be spent on speech, you have the effect of limiting speech. So the contributions that are given for speaking, so when you give a contribution to a candidate, for instance, in order for the candidate to convey his message to the general public, you're giving money for speaking, and if you limit that money, you're limiting speech.
I've heard a lot of the opponents of this idea and this Supreme Court decision saying that it's allowing the precious few an unfair volume of voice in the political process, and I would make the counterclaim to that where how is something like let's just say the Koch brothers, for example, that's the name that's on everyone's tip of the tongue. How is it different from the Koch brothers are making multimillion dollar donations versus a Democratic politician like, let's take former Governor John Corzine, who ponied up $40, $50, $60 million of his own money to run his own campaign?
Mm-hmm. Well, what was involved here in the McCutcheon case was not a base contribution limits. In other words, how much can you give to an individual federal candidate, because that is limited to $2,600 per election. What was involved was a federal law that limited, quote, aggregate, end of quote, contributions. In other words, the total number of candidates, PACs, state political parties, and national political parties that you could support with fully legal contributions over a two-year election cycle. So the law would have permitted somebody to contribute to nine candidates the full legal amount. But if you gave a tenth candidate, that would be illegal. What the court said was that's just completely irrational. There is nothing corrupting about giving a non-corrupting, that is, a contribution subject to the contribution limits, a non-corrupting candidate to a tenth candidate after you've given to nine already. Yes, it means that an individual can give to more candidates or more political parties, but, that's a reflection of reality that if you're going to get something passed and have the views that you support adopted as public policy, there's more people involved, and if you have the means, you can support more candidates.
This was one Chief Justice Roberts wrote in the court's main opinion: there is no right more basic in our democracy than the right to participate in electing our political leaders. We have made clear that Congress may not regulate contributions simply to reduce the amount of money in politics or to restrict the political participation of some. in order to enhance the relative influence of others.
Mm-hmm. That captures it. You know, this aggregate limit, the bottom line is it was just to cut off the ability of some people, and there's maybe 650 people in the last election cycle that did max out, that ran up against this aggregate limit, just to cut them off from their ability to support other candidates or other causes by giving to other PACs or by fully supporting the three national political committees, just to cut them off. Not that their contributions in and of themselves were corrupted anybody, because they're all subject to contribution limits, but they just didn't want this person to be able to support more candidates than the government thought was appropriate. Well, being appropriateness is not enough when you're talking about basic political freedoms.
Talking with Attorney James Bob Jr., who was the lead attorney for the Republican National Committee in the case McCutcheon versus FEC, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of the right to an expansion of political donations. And you can learn more about this case, by the way, jamesmadisoncenter.org. Read the various briefs that were filed, and easy to grasp and absorb study of the ruling. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. So, in fact, what this is, this is not opening the floodgates of millions, as Justice Breyer, who read his dissent, by the way, from the on the floor of the court, which is, that's just the context clue saying the minority opinion was really ticked off about this ruling. But nevertheless, it's a matter of empowering more candidates to be able to deliver their message more effectively.
That's right. What it means is that because, you know, the rich people we're talking about didn't just stop giving because they couldn't give to candidates or in political parties. They would give their money to super PACs or to not-for-profits that would then be spending their money, through independent spending in a particular race. Now they can, fully support the political parties. They can give to more candidates. That money is fully transparent. It will be fully reported to the Federal Election Commission. And those sources are accountable. The candidate appears on the ballot. They have an R or D next to their name. So if you don't like the fact that this 10th candidate received a contribution from some casino magnate in Las Vegas, well, you can vote against him. But you can't vote against a super PAC or a not-for-profit organization. So we have a more accountable, more transparent system. It'll be a very modest effect because, as I mentioned, there's just not that many people that are willing and able to support more than a few candidates at a given time. But it will mean that they receive more money and less money will go to these independent spenders.
And certainly in this day and age of social media and mass media, there is more than one individual, obviously, who, whether they're strongly conservative, strongly liberal, strongly whatever party, if they see a candidate in another state, Ted Cruz might be a great example. Mm-hmm. From my belief, my understanding is he had a lot of support come from out of state because he was a lot of conservatives saw him as an up-and-comer, much like you want to support a movie star or a baseball player that you see as someone who's got potential. You're going to toss some money out of your backyard into that person's backyard to help them out and make sure that they come through because you believe in what they're saying, what they're preaching, what they want to do.
That's right. And to artificially limit that to just 9 candidates or barely one national political party when there's where every party has actually 3 national committees, a senatorial committee, the congressional committee, and the Republican National Committee, for instance, just made no sense to deprive the most transparent and accountable sources of the money, and the money still flowed into politics, but in other ways that are less transparent and less accountable.
I want to close this segment with another excerpt from the majority ruling from John Roberts. Money in politics may at times seem repugnant to some, but so too does much of what the First Amendment vigorously protects. If the First Amendment protects flag burning, funeral protests, and Nazi parades, despite the profound offense such spectacles cause, it surely protects political campaign speech, despite popular opposition.
He's a good writer, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, he sort of got lost on health care reform, but he seems to be back on track on this case, at least. And to study more about this case and get a better understanding of what has come. And by the way, Roberts also said if anyone finds a problem with this decision, then it's up to Congress to make a law and try to get it passed to fix what they see as in need of fixing. But go over to jamesmadisoncenter.org and learn more about the decision, McCutcheon versus FEC. We've been joined this morning by the lead attorney in this case for the Republican National Committee, James Bob Jr. Mr. Bob, thanks so much for being here this morning.
Thank you, Chris, for having me on.